just an attitude, a philosophy. I want to start real quickly by just summarizing what the regs say, and what are the responsibilities of the Committee of Blind Vendors. First, and this is straight out of the regulations, they are to actively participate with the state licensing agency on major administrative decisions affecting the overall operation of the program. Now, you know, what's a major administrative decision? That's been sort of a bugaboo for a long time. But if it affects the overall operation of the program, then it requires active participation. This is the way I explain it to people. It is up to the agency and the committee to build the framework for how the program is going to be run. You do that with a budget. You do that with rules and regulations. You do that with policies and procedures. And then it's up to the state agency to do the day-to-day operations of the program and to make sure that they do it in accordance with the framework that's been established with the committee. So the best example, the agency and the committee should develop a budget. In that budget, you say, we're going to spend $250,000 on equipment this year. And when Tyrell gets ready to buy a piece of equipment, he does not have to come back to the committee and say, I want to buy Frank a cold food machine. Now, that's not, the committee participates in establishing the budget. It's up to Tyrell then to administer the program in accordance with that budget. Now, it's up to Tyrell to keep the committee informed on things that are happening day to day, but that's different than administering the program. Any major administrative decision affecting the overall program is subject to active participation. You're going to receive and transmit grievances to the state. Now, this means different things to different people also. There were some states, and I'm trying to eliminate these one at a time. There were some states that required you, if you wanted to file a grievance, you had to file it with the committee. I don't believe that's what that means. I don't think that means that formal request for evidentiary hearings and that kind of stuff have to go through the committee. I think what that's saying is, hey, I've got a problem. I'm going to call my committee rep. And then it's up to the committee rep to transmit that and advocate on my behalf with the agency. I don't think that necessarily is tied to formal due process. You're to participate with the state licensing agency in the development and administration of the state transfer and promotion system. So, however you're going to make your facility assignments is something that is developed by the agency and the committee. And in most states, the committee participates in that decision-making process. Most states, there's an interview process, and the committee participates, the agency participates, and all of that. Used to, it was all seniority. I think you guys are seniority, say yes, I say that. There's probably only half dozen of you that still exist who do things by seniority. RSA right now is highly recommending that against that. One state submitted rules and they're making the state go back and really provide strong justification for not looking at other factors in making promotions. But the bottom line is you develop whatever promotion system works in your state, and then you don't necessarily have to participate in the selection process, but you got to participate in the development of whatever system that's going to be. The other thing is you participate in developing training and retraining programs for the blind. So however you're going to train your new vendors, you participate in the development of that program. Now, they're trained as a VR client in most cases, so you're not going to get really involved in their VR case. But as far as what you want them to have to go through, the training, the curriculum, however you're going to do that, did you actively participate in that? If retraining is required, you actively participate in the development of what that retraining is going to look like. Some states will do certification training in Tennessee, you have to be certified to operate a particular type of facility. So the certification training was part of that. Upper mobility training is part of that. with the assistance of the state licensing agency, meetings and instructional conferences for blind vendors. And so that, most states, that's, you're usually referring to the annual training conference. I guess in your case, that's what we're doing here today. And so basically, it's saying that this is a, the committee sponsors this, and the agency provides. In some states I go to, it's really interesting, the dynamics. I go to some states where the committee is running the show and you wouldn't even know the agency was there. I go to another state and the agency is running the show and you wouldn't know that the vendors had anything to do with it. And, you know, that's, both of those extremes are probably not the way it should be. But conferences are to be sponsored by the committee with the assistance of the agency. So that's what the federal law, the regulations say. Those are the responsibilities of the committee. We'll talk a few minutes about what this really means to you guys who are on the committee, or you guys that are thinking about running for the committee. Because the reality is, you are getting in, or if you're already on the committee, you are in politics. That's simply, you are a politician now. You're getting into politics. Politics, if you look at the definition, it relates to governance. And that's what you're doing. Your governance is, it relates to the business enterprise program. The definition is making decisions applying to all members of the group. So that's what politics are. And so there's a whole lot that goes into it. So like it or not, you are now a politician. Some people fall into the trap of wanting to make everyone happy. You cannot do that. And I know, you know, we talk about, you know, politicians would love to be able to do that, but they can't do it. So, you know, if you enter the role as a committee member thinking you're going to make everybody happy, you are going to be sadly disappointed. Politicians, what's their main thing? What is their focus? Their focus is getting reelected. Again, that's the dirty side of politics, because you're always looking at the next election. And if as a committee member, you are looking at getting reelected instead of doing what needs to be done, you're doing the program a misjustice. You've got to weigh what's good for the individual versus what's good for the body. Now, you know, we can get into, I'm not saying no one's individual right should be denied or trampled on because it's good for the larger group, okay? I'm not saying that by any stretch of imagination. But what I am saying is, sometimes you've got to make a decision that this may not help Frank, but this, you know, if we go this route, it's going to help the program as a whole. And so, you know, those are tough decisions that have to be made. I caution to committee members, don't get stuck between advocating and demanding. Those are not the same terms. It's your job to advocate for the program. It's your job to advocate for the vendors. It's not your job to place demands. Now, I've seen cases where it's gotten to that point, and I get that. But I'm talking about in the best of worlds, the best of situations, you are to advocate. And also, you have to balance giving credit when credit is due, and, you know, not playing the blame game all the time. Because sometimes there, you know, credit needs to be given, and you need to be able to, you know, give the SLA credit when they do good, and hold them accountable when they don't. But just, you know, constantly playing the blame game will get you nowhere. Keep in mind, you have been elected by your peers. Being elected means that they trust in you. It is an honor for you to serve as a member of the Committee of Blind Vendors. And it is a huge responsibility, because, you know, if you you were participating in all the major administrative decisions that happen out there. You know, you are as much, you know, responsible and accountable as the SLA. Keep in mind, you are now part of a democracy too, because you're going to be voting, and so you know, it's, you know, democracy, it works a lot of times, but it doesn't always get the results that we want. It may not get the results that you want, but understand, it is a democratic system. I tell committee, first thing you do is, and anytime I go into a state and I'm working with them as a group, I develop what are called rules of engagement. And these are just simple, you could just say the golden rule. Everybody's going to abide by the golden rule. But this is what I say, that every meeting, it should be conducted in accordance to these rules of engagement. First is, you're going to be honest. You know, be truthful, be honest. You need to do, anything you do needs to be done in a respectful manner. Respect the other members of the committee, respect the agency, be respectful. They need to be non-personal. You know, let's not go after Frank, you know, as a person. You know, he may be a lousy blankety blank, but let's not call him a lousy blankety blank. Let's deal with the issues that we're trying to deal with, and, you know, not let it get personal. And it goes the same way with the agency. Deal with Tyrell as the program director, you know, not as an individual that you may or may not like. Be constructive. Keep your focus on being constructive and focus on the issue at hand. It's easy to go down this rabbit hole and start chasing rabbits all over the place, and then you never get to the issue that you're dealing with. Stay focused on the issue at hand. And the last thing is, to tell folks, is to maintain confidentiality. If there's ever a situation that comes up to where the committee is dealing with a delicate issue, a confidential issue related to a vendor, please keep that confidential. I mean, that's what, you know, you're being trusted to do so. I tell folks, agencies and the committee both, that you've got to build a relationship. It's all about relationships. And you do that through trust. You have to build trust. You have to have trust in one another. You have to have open communication. You've got to have credibility with each other. This is both sides. You have to have credibility. And you've got to have a team spirit. You've got to realize you're just part of the team, and y'all are going to work together to resolve whatever the issue is or to address whatever the point is that's on the table at that particular moment. So if you do those four things, then you're going to go a long way toward being a successful committee. Communication is key to being a successful committee. And when I say communication, the first thing that every vendor thinks is that the agency's not communicating well enough with us. We don't know what's going on about this, or we don't know what's going on about that. Communication is a two-way street. So the committee has a responsibility to be communicating to the SLA, and the SLA has a responsibility to be communicating with the committee. But it goes deeper than that. The committee also has a responsibility to be communicating with the vendors. And the vendors have a responsibility to be communicating their opinions and concerns and ideas to their committee reps. So if you don't have a whole circle of communication going on, then you're going to have problems. It's got to be the vendor to the committee to the vendor, the committee to the agency to the committee. So all that has to be happening for you to be an effective effect. The most important thing is, we talk about communication, is listening. That is absolutely critical if you're going to communicate. It's not just you conveying information. It is, you know, you have to listen, and the other key component of it is to keep informed, to be informed. committee reps, and you know, this doesn't necessarily apply to you guys because you're a small state. I encourage states, larger states, to have regional meetings just for the vendors. Making it not necessarily, folks, I don't care. But you know, have regional meetings, or you know, in this age, you could do meetings, conference calls, or whatever, just to talk and get to know each other and hear their issues. Second thing you need to do is always follow up. Follow through is always is always a key, and I think it's a downfall to a lot of problems that we experience, whether it be the SLA or the committee. There is no follow through. You talk about it; it sounds good. Yes, we're going to do that, but then nothing happens. So it's, you know, you're going to be a committee rep, and the agency has to do something, the vendors want you to do something, be sure to follow through. So that's going to be key. I encourage you to get out as a committee rep and see the facilities. See the facilities that the other vendors are managing there. So you need to be knowledgeable about what's going on out there and what kind of facilities that are operating. The other thing is, you know, you can do surveys, you can do newsletters, you can do whatever you want for you to get information from them and for them to get information to you. Do training. Training is important. And, you know, it doesn't have to be the annual meeting. If you want to do training on something else or something you need that, you know, schedule a training and help the vendors. And most important, make sure that whatever you do, the information that you are providing is accurate. Don't be out there spreading misinformation. I don't say, you know, people are out there lying, but make sure that the information that you are sharing is accurate. The other thing is, in your meetings, you have a responsibility to play an active role in the meetings if you're on the committee. If you attend a committee meeting and you don't say anything the entire meeting, and you're not playing an active role, you're just there taking up a seat, you probably aren't very effective as a committee member. You need to play a role in those meetings. Be active. Share your ideas and your thoughts. Arrive on time. I know this seems very, very basic, but how many times have we been to meetings that were scheduled to start at 9 o'clock and people are still showing up at 9:05? Be there early, be ready to go, start the meeting on time, and make sure that you arrive on time. Be prepared. Any meeting, there's homework involved. Information is sent out in advance. There's a pet peeve of mine when you send something out and they have plenty of time to read it to get to the meeting and says, okay, we got this issue we're going to talk about. Have you read it? And everybody says, no, we haven't read it. You know, that's on you as a committee rep. But you need to be prepared when you show up to conduct business. Do not bring up personal issues. These committee meetings are business meetings. You're there representing the group. So do not bring up your personal problems of other vendors, and you know, try to not advocate for yourself, which a lot of committee people have been accused of doing. And advocate for the body more than the group. Do not come to meetings with any hidden agendas. I see this sometimes where vendors will have strategy sessions, you know, what they're going to do, at the committee meeting, and you know, their real agenda is something totally different than what is being discussed. So don't come to meetings with a hidden agenda. Another point is to listen to all views. Listen to what everybody has to say. You may not agree with them, but listen intently. And when I say listen, that doesn't mean thinking about what you're going to say to counter what they have to say. I'm saying listening, you're actually listening and thinking through what they have to say. You're going to learn a lot more by listening. That's a failure. Listening is a key part of communication. The next point goes back to what I just said earlier on. Make sure that you're providing accurate information. So if you're in a committee meeting, make sure that the information that's being provided is accurate. The next point, ask questions. Make sure you are asking questions. If you don't understand, you have a responsibility to ask the question because you need to understand. And you also, the other point of that is, don't just accept something as pure fact. Dig in and ask questions and dig deeper and deeper into whatever the topic is if it's appropriate. So please be sure to ask questions. Be willing to accept people's differences. We're not all the same. We all have different views. You need to accept those different views. And I know in this country today that that's not very popular to do. But as a committee, you can set aside all your political differences and all that kind of stuff, and people are going to have difference of opinions on what's right, what's wrong, what you should do, what you shouldn't do. You need to accept those differences. And again, it's not that the person's a bad person because they have a different opinion than you do. So, accept differences. The next point is be willing to compromise. It's so many issues that come up, it's not either or. There's many times there's middle ground. And if there's middle ground, then you may not get everything you want, but if there's middle ground to move things forward, be willing to compromise. Now, there are some cases where compromise just isn't an option, I understand. But for the most part, we're talking in general terms here, be willing to compromise. Think creatively. And here's the problem we talked about earlier, about the problems that Randolph Shepherd is facing today. We haven't been creative. We have to change that. So don't get stuck in the mold that this is the way it's always been or whatever. Let's be creative in the way we think. Be part of the solution. Don't be part of the problem. So if there's a problem on the table, your job is to help solve that problem, not make the problem worse. Most importantly, vote your conscience. Vote what you think is best for the program. Not what you think that vendor X wants, or not what you think your constituents want. If the only thing you're doing is voting exactly the way your vendors want, they don't need you. Everything can be done by a vote, and Tyrell can just send out everything out to all the vendors. You need to vote your conscience in whatever you think is best for the program. And the last thing is to support decisions that are made by the committee. You may be on the losing side. Your opinion may not be the one that's adopted by the committee and the agency. That's okay. As long as you spoke your mind and spoke your piece and you're able to make your points, if you lose out, you support the decision. Do not spend the next 90 days trying to undermine the decision that's already been made. That's the way the process works. The last point I'm going to make is to be the best committee member you can be is to lead by example. And by that, I mean be the absolute best vendor that you can possibly be in order to lead by example. It's always hard, and especially when I'm talking to the state agency folks, and you've got committee chair who is really on the agency's case, but this, that, and the other. And always having trouble keeping the facility clean. They're not at the facility now or they should be, or whatever. Lead by example. Be the best darn vendor in the program. If you do all the things that I've mentioned, and I would do it really, really fast. all that stuff that I think you can be the committee that Congress intended you to be. Congress intended to blind people that this is a program that was going to for the blind, and that the blind were going to have a voice in how it was run. And you have a responsibility to be that voice for your blind vendors and do the things that we just talked about, and you can be successful. And my time is up, right on schedule, maybe a minute over. So I would answer a question if anybody has it, but I don't want to take up too much of your time either.
No, definitely. Before any questions, Terry, I just want to thank you for your time. And certainly, I think this is an important topic, and this was a great subject to talk about as we look to move forward, because everyone on this call pretty much knows me and knows my flexibilities and know my invested interests in this program. So, you know, without you guys, there, you know, you really are the program. I remember many years ago, you used to hear the what I would consider kind of sarcastic remarks where, you know, operators, we work for the operators, and indeed we do. And in order to move this program forward, you guys have to have much more invested interest in wanting to see progress and wanting to be part of change than the administration. You know, and so I think this message is right on time. And Terry, I do appreciate this training aspect. So certainly anyone has questions, feel free. I will adjust the agenda accordingly to make sure we're on track. But thank you, Terry.
Sure.
This is Frank speaking. How do we as a committee participate in the training of a vendor entering the program, and what is upward mobility training?
Well, how do you participate in the training of a person coming into the program? I said, under the law, you're to set up training programs. It doesn't mean you have to participate in the actual training, but in most cases, you know, you have, that the law requires there be an on-the-job training. That's in the act itself. So, you know, you can have classroom training, but you also have to have on-the-job training. And that's where the vendors come into play, that the person's going to be assigned to a location, and they're going to get training on the job from another blind vendor. So there's not a, you know, absolute requirement that the committee participate in that training, but that's how it should. What was the second part of your question?
What is upward mobility training?
Oh, upper mobility. That is required under the law. It is training that is intended to enhance your current skills so that you can move up in the program and continue to advance and to make more money. And I think that's one of the things that's really misunderstood about what the requirements are. A lot of states will say, well, we do our annual training conference, that's upper mobility. 9 times out of 10, an annual training conference does not really enhance your skills. It may help your knowledge, you know, about certain things. You know, like training conferences like BLAST, you know, that's upper mobility training. But you don't have to go to you know, that kind of stuff to get upper mobility. You know, the agency can provide upper mobility training. You know, for example, just about every state I help rewrite the rules, we put in a continuing education requirement where vendors have to accumulate points, continuing education or upper mobility points, and they can get it any number of ways, you know, whether it be attending a conference, whether it be training provided by the agency, whether it be taking online courses, whether it be going to a food show, whatever it might be. So there's all sorts of ways to get upper mobility training, but the bottom line is it is required under the Act, and it is intended to enhance your skills so that you can move up in the program and to make more money.
Yeah. Well, Terry, this is Shelley. I just want to piggyback after Tyrell. Thank you so much for your training, but I was wondering, more of a comment, or we have a question.